Pastor Doug here from Crossroads. It's great to be with you. I hope that today's message will draw you closer to Jesus.
Noise can be such a good thing, right? Laughter, just good fellowship, conversation, that really good music, that movie, that TV show. There is so much good about noise, and there's a lot of good noise, but too much noise and noise all the time isn't a good thing. When there's always noise in our life, when we're never able to slow down and just get quiet, we miss out. It actually even can begin to kill our soul. We feel so much more disconnected from our Heavenly Father. And we're in week two of this series, just talking about what it looks like to slow down. And last week we asked that question, what does it look like for you to slow down? To just be with God, to make space to enjoy the beauty of the life that God has given you. Now, in his book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, the author gives 20 ways, 20 different ways to help you and I slow down. And some of them sound just like pure craziness to me. Here's one of his suggestions. Always pick the longest line wherever. Check out the grocery store, Walmart, wherever. Always pick the longest line. That's one of his ways to slow down. I'm like, no, that one just wouldn't work for me, right? Another one that he suggests in 20 ways to slow down, he says, always drive the speed limit. And I'm like, oh, you just have to be kidding, right? I mean, that's how you annoy the people around you who are trying to get somewhere. But then he has other ideas I can really resonate with, things that really work with me to help me slow down. One of the things he talked about is trying to arrive 10 minutes early to a meeting. And when you get there 10 minutes early, don't be on your phone. Just be present. You can be praying about the meeting. Just be there. That one works for me. And then another one that he suggests is whenever you can, if you can, take long vacations. And that's something that has worked for me for decades. There's a world of difference of taking, for me, 2 weeks together than 2 weeks apart. And so I will take 3, 4, whatever you can give me, and I will cram all of those weeks of vacation together because it is so much better for my soul. It helps me to slow down. But this week, we want to go beyond slowing down. We want to talk about silencing the noise. Because if you just slow down, but it's always noise in the background, it's incredibly hard, if not impossible, to hear from God. So what we're talking about is, what would it look like for you to quiet the noise? What would it look like for you and I to create a space to be quiet, to cultivate that ability to be quiet, that external noise and also the internal noise, to just be quiet before God? And a phrase you hear all so often from people of all different ages is that time is just flying by. How can it already be May? What happened to the first 4 months of the year? And when we're so hurrying from one thing to the next, our schedules are so packed that we're surrounded by constant noise and busyness, then we've lost the ability to be present in the moment. And we miss out on the life that God has given us. John Mark Comer says it like this, is this new normal of hurried digital distraction is robbing us of the ability to be present. Present to God, present to other people, present to all that is good, beautiful, and true in our world, and even present to our souls. Do any of the four of those areas resonate with you? Are any of those hard for you to be present in the moment? Is it hard for you to be present with God? To just be quiet, to be able to know that God is near, to be able to hear from and experience his love and his grace. Maybe it's hard for you to be present to other people. You know that's true for you if someone says, well, I know we had this conversation. I know you agreed about this. And you're like, I don't think we ever had that conversation. I never heard that. Because you were looking, you were distracted, your eyes were somewhere else. You weren't really hearing, you weren't present with that person. What about this? Present to all that is good, beautiful, and true in our world. This has been, I think, one of our most beautiful springs in a long time. I mean, the colors have been vibrant, everything that's been blooming, and it's not got washed away quickly by hard rains. The grass has been continuously like that lush, beautiful green. But it's spring quickly flying by, and you're like, I had never slowed down to just be in the moment, to experience the beauty of the world that's surrounding me that God has given me. Or how about this last one? Is it hard to be present with your own souls? One of the indicators for this is normally your ability to feel emotion. Do you really know how you're feeling? Can you describe it in words beyond good and bad? Can you sit in those emotions and give them over to God and be real with them in conversations with the people around you? One of the suggestions that we ended with last week, one of the things that I said, here's a great way to start out on this journey of slowing down, is simply this: every day, two or three times a day, take just a moment to be able to pause, to be present, to be grateful in your surroundings. And I'm like, that's a great thing. I know it works for me, but I'm going to try and do that every single day this week. And it gets tough, right? My Wednesday, just like my scheduled meetings, let alone all the other unscheduled stuff, my first meeting was with one of you at 9 o'clock at a local coffee shop. Got to meet, get updated on our lives and pray for you. And then I had to be over at Country Homes for a study at 10 o'clock. And then back to the same coffee shop at 11:30 for another meeting with one of you. And got to pray with you again, one-on-one with Pastor Don by 1 o'clock. And then Pastor Cindy and I were doing a home visit at 1:30. And then like small group later on that day that I was hosting. And it was thing after thing after thing. But I made an intentional decision to just slow down, to pause several times throughout the day, to give thanks to God for what he is doing. And I would hope with all of those scheduled meetings that the people would believe that I actually was present in the moment. I wasn't just hurrying. I wasn't just rushing from one thing to the next, to the next. And a question to get us started off today. Some questions for you. Are you tired of always being tired? Do you know that something just isn't right? The pace that you're going at isn't sustainable. Is there a longing in your soul, but you've stuffed it down so long that you can barely feel it anymore, but you can barely feel anything anymore? I want us to revisit that invitation from Jesus that we talked about last week, but this time I wanted to look at it in a paraphrase, in the message. And just listen to Jesus' invitation one more time. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And there's something so beautiful and compelling about Jesus' invitation that it just draws us in. I mean, do you know anyone? Do you know anyone who's tired? Do you know anybody who's worn out? Do you know anyone who's just burned out on religion? Jesus' invitation draws us in to find rest in him, to find rest for our souls in him. And Jesus' invitation is simply this: come to him, be with him. And it is our connectedness to Jesus, walking in his way, that's where we find rest. That's how we learn to do life with God in a way that brings joy and freedom. And Jesus didn't just say, hey, get away with me. Get away with me and find rest. Jesus didn't say, hey, it's so incredibly important for you to slow down. Jesus didn't just say, hey, it's so important for you to be quiet. This is something that you need to do. He didn't just say those words. He modeled those behaviors again and again. In just the book of Luke alone, Luke tells us 9 different times that Jesus got away to be quiet, to pray, to be with his heavenly Father. Think about it like this. Right after Jesus was baptized, and he's about to kick off his public ministry, which of these things did Jesus do? Did he A, finalize his strategic plan? Did he B, recruit his leadership team of disciples? Did he C, create a following by performing all these miracles that just drew the crowds in? Did he D, just have this incredible teaching about the heart of the Heavenly Father that laid the foundation for his ministry for the next 3 years? Or did he go away for 40 days by himself to be quiet? In Luke 4, the beginning of Jesus' ministry, right after he was baptized, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Right when Jesus was about to kick off his ministry, 40 days of solitude, 40 days of fasting, 40 days of being away from it all. And out of that solitude, he didn't come out of a position of weakness. He came out with a position of strength. He resisted temptation. Had conversations with several of you over the past couple weeks or months about fasting. And Doug, why doesn't it seem like we hear as much about fasting anymore? Are people doing fasting? I'm like, well, I love to talk about fasting, but well, you have to understand, if you are just fasting from food, if you're just fasting from food, but there's nothing else, you're not slowing down, the noise is all around you, there is very limited benefit. Fasting 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, when you went on a fast, you gained all this time. Remember, no refrigerators, no Uber Eats, no drive-thrus. The amount of time you had to take to gather, prepare the food, and then have the meal was huge. You created all this time. 2,000 years ago, the average person had very little reserves on them. If you were fasting, you had energy to do nothing. So you sat and you were quiet. So today, whenever you fast, and you could be fasting from food or fasting from something else, but the key thing is this. You need to create the space to slow down, to be quiet, to silence the noise externally and internally if you really want to hear from your Heavenly Father. And Jesus launched out of this place of strength, out of this place of rest, out of this place of just being away in solitude, being connected to his Heavenly Father, and he launched into ministry. And again throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus doing just that. As a matter of fact, we don't even get another chapter, chapter 5. But despite Jesus' instructions, he had just healed a man from leprosy and said, shh, keep it a secret. People don't keep good secrets. But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him preach and be healed of their diseases. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Jesus practiced a spiritual discipline of solitude again and again, over and over. The demands of the crowd, they want to hear more of his teaching. They want to see more of his healing. And he leaves, he gets away, he gets quiet. He doesn't just talk about slowing down. He doesn't just say that you and I need to get quiet. He models it again and again. And when you and I, when we try to live differently from the life that Jesus taught and modeled, our lives get so filled up and busy, and there's so much noise, and there's just little to no time to get away and just be quiet. There's incredibly real consequences for our lives. Whenever we're surrounded by constant noise, we begin to feel distant from God. God's far away. Our spirituality comes solely from other people, that podcast, that devotional that somebody else wrote. And we just feel distant from God because we're not making time to just be with him and to be quiet. Often we feel distant from ourselves. We've lost our identity. We've lost our purpose, our mission. And we don't even really know who God created us to be or all the great things he designed to be a part of our lives. We feel an undercurrent of anxiety that rarely goes away because the calendar is just ridiculous full. The task list is long and we're just running and going and hurrying and there's always noise around us. And we sure do get exhausted. We get burned out. You ever have those days where the alarm goes off and you're getting out of bed because you have to and the first thing that you're thinking about is getting back into bed because you just can't wait because you're that tired, you're that worn out, you're that exhausted. When all those things happen, then we start to make really bad choices. We escape with whatever our escape is of our choice, binge watching, overeating, alcohol, whatever. And then we end up unhealthy, emotional, spiritually, physically unhealthy and out of tune with our Heavenly Father. And all of this and more when we don't slow down and get quiet. But as much as Jesus taught and modeled getting quiet, as much as Jesus taught and modeled getting away, he's not the only one. For the past 2,000 years, spiritual fathers, spiritual writers have talked about the importance of slowing down and being quiet. William Barclay said it like this: it may well be that the whole trouble in our lives is that we give God no opportunity to speak to us because we do not know how to be still and to listen. We give God no time to recharge us with spiritual energy and strength because there is no time when we wait upon him. Does that statement sting true or ring true at all for you? From my personal experience in my life and talking to so many other people, when we feel disconnected from God, it's often an undercurrent that we're making no space for him. There's always noise in our life. There's always distractions. And we find it almost impossible to carve out time to just be quiet. And when we do carve out that time to be quiet, we can't silence the noise in our brains. We can't tune in to what God might like to say. How many of you remember from the 70s that movie Smokey and the Bandit? Anybody ever watch Smokey and the Bandit? Okay. That movie didn't age well. If you watch it today in our culture, there's things that just aren't right. But there was fast cars, and there was cutting-edge technology. For me as a kid, I loved the CB. How many of you remember or ever used CBs? A couple of you? Yeah, it was so cool. And, you know, you would tune in to other drivers, and you'd hear these phrases like okie dokie and pedal to the metal. And one of the phrases that you'd hear is, do you got your ears on? And here was the thing with the CB. If you bought the best unit, the most expensive unit, but you never turned it on and you never tuned it in, you didn't hear from anyone. You didn't hear anything. For so many of us, God is present. He's desiring to speak into our lives. We've just lost the ability to tune in. We've lost the ability to get quiet. Our lives are out of tune, out of frequency with the life that God has designed us to live. And this whole idea of solitude, this whole idea of silence, it's so good for us, but it helps us to tune in to those unforced rhythms of grace, to find rest for our souls in Jesus. And if you're looking for a straightforward definition of what solitude is all about, Pete Scazzaro says this. He says, solitude is the practice of being absent from people and things to attend to God. And if you're looking for a great resource on solitude or silence, Pete is a great way to go. His podcast, his books. Last year, staff, we went through his emotionally healthy discipleship book, and he touches on this again and again. And one of the things that he says I find fascinating in that book, he says this. He says, the many followers of Jesus are chronically overextended and doing more for Jesus than their inner life with him can sustain. They have too much to do in too little time and say a default yes to requests and opportunities without carefully discerning God's will. Overloaded and depleted constitute normal for their lives. Then a little bit later he goes on to say, the notion of a slowed down spirituality or slowed down discipleship in which they're doing for Jesus flows out of their being with Jesus is a foreign concept. And you and I, when we switch the script, when we learn to slow down and we learn what it means to be quiet, quiet the noise externally and internally, when we silence the noise, there's so many good things that can happen for us when we silence the noise. Here's just a few of the things that happen when we silence the noise. We find our quiet places, and we long when they're missing. It might be that park down the street. It might be your morning cup of coffee, your routine. But man, you come to value where you get to just be quiet, where there's not a TV show or a podcast or any other things that distract going on in the background. Screens are turned off. Phones are silent. When we silence the noise, we slow down. You can't be silent and be running. It just doesn't work. You can't be silent and always be hurrying and rushing to the next thing. When we silence the noise, we can be in the moment. You can give somebody your full attention. You can enjoy the moment, whatever it is. You can find God and his beauty in the moment of what's going on in your life. And when you learn to silence the noise externally and internally, one of the things that's going to happen, if right now you just feel numb, you need to be warned, one of the things that will happen is that you will start to feel all the good emotions and all the bad emotions. Probably all the bad emotions first. But you can be present with God. You can bring all of those emotions before him. Be real with him. Be real with somebody else close in your life. Process through. But you'll begin to feel. Your bandwidth of emotions will no longer be like this. It'll be the highs and the lows, just like Jesus, just like how your Heavenly Father created you to be. As you silence the noise, you're going to sense God's presence. It's going to be clear that you're just in a safe place. You're in a good place. Nothing to fear, nothing to worry about, a place where you can be completely vulnerable and incredibly real. And as you silence the noise, you're going to make room to hear from God. Some things that you would miss out on. Things that God had in store for you. Things that God wanted to reveal to you. Things that God would just love to see happen and go on in your life. You're going to be able to hear from him and connect those dots. On your connection card, here's what I'd love you to do in the coming weeks. As you're really, if you're trying to slow down, if you're trying to get quiet, here are two things I would love for us to be doing as a church family. Find some simple times of solitude, right? The kids are playing, they're enjoying themselves. In that moment, just be present with God. Don't get out your phone. Simply just be present with God in the moment. Simple times throughout the day. You're stuck at a red light. You're stuck in traffic. Make that just a simple time of solitude with God. No radio, no phone. Just be in those simple times wherever they can be. And simple times are great to find, but man, set times of solitude. What would it look like for you to set some time of solitude? For me, it is my morning coffee routine. Coffee on the couch by 7:30 a.m. It's a great time, then I miss it so much when it doesn't happen. What would it look like for you to set a time of solitude to just be with God on a regular basis, to make that part of your routine? And here's my encouragement. Start small, start somewhere. For some of you, man, you're already there. You're like, man, I can do an hour of just quiet and solitude with God. It's easy for me. Some of you do weekends retreats of silence and solitude. For the rest of you, 2 minutes is going to really push it. 2 minutes is going to feel really weird. So start small, but start somewhere. Just being quiet. Learning to tune out the noise around you and then to turn down or turn off the noise in here and just being present with God. I want to leave you with this invitation, once again from a paraphrase from Matthew chapter 6. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will eventually shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. And Crossroads, here's what I want you to do. Over the coming weeks, find a quiet, secluded place, and just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. Start somewhere, start small, but please start. And now for a head start. A few moments for you just to be quiet with God. Jesus, we thank you for your invitation to find rest in you, rest for our souls. We thank you for the life that you taught and modeled and just getting away from good stuff, away from bad stuff, to just have some time in solitude, to just be. So we cultivate this spiritual discipline. Well, we need your help to tune out the noise of the world, to tune out the noise in our head. To just be present as simply as we can with you. May we find that rest. May we find that peace for our souls. And may we find it in you alone. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. Any step you take towards Jesus is a step in the right direction. You can find out more about us at crbic.org. That's crbic.org.